Tonight we are going to return to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, a proverb of Solomon, familiar one, verse 1, "He that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Father, we thank you for the text of Scripture before us. I ask that you would cause us to be able to hear and understand and apply these truths and to think upon thee in these things. We ask, Lord, that you would help us in the preaching and the hearing of your word. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Here he talks about in verse 1 the oft reproof, the oft reproof, he that being often reproved. And the reason man has to be often reproved is because man is born in sin, born unto trouble, born with a rebellious streak throughout. And so he is often reproved by the Lord. Our pride has to be reproved and replaced with humility. And so one of the ways that God reproves us is by humbling us in various ways. And there are plenty of ways in which God can humble us. Our body is a great wonder, having an intricacy that 1,000 times 10,000 functions have to work flawlessly for us to function normally, and it normally does. But when one function is out of order, it can lay us low, and it humbles us. It brings us literally low, puts us in the bed, as it were. And this is one of the ways in which God uses at times to humble us, is by putting us low physically. From our childhood, we have endured sickness, which are just tremors of our mortality. Every time we get sick and get ill, it's a distant reminder that there is a day appointed to death, and that these bodies of ours are dying, and that we don't get out of this alive. Only Enoch and Elijah, who were taken up in the fiery chariot, but everybody else goes the way of all the earth, as Joseph called it when he was getting ready to die. So these sicknesses, these illnesses, these times down should humble us before our Creator. They should be a natural reminder, a natural humbling of ourselves to think upon the Lord, to take away any pride that we might have. Sometimes, especially if God has given us a good constitution and we are rarely sick, sometimes we get a little heady about that, thinking that perhaps it's something just about us as to why we don't get sick, and then the Lord can lay us low. Sometimes and I hear it said with folks that get a particular disease, perhaps a particular diagnosis, and I hear some very strong statements like, that I'm not going to let this get me. It's not going to take me down because I've got a will to live. Well, it may not take you down. A will to live is good, because we should have a will to live. But it's a very proud statement to tell the Lord that he can't take you down, because the Lord takes all kinds of people down at every kind of age, from the time of infancy and at birth all the way into old age. That time belongs to the Lord. And so we need to remain humble before him in it. So we are often reproved by our infirmities, by our weaknesses. Our Lord Jesus Christ experienced infirmity, that is, weaknesses. He experienced hunger, thirst, weariness, tiredness in his flesh while he walked upon the earth. And we experience that and more. And ours is complicated by sin as well. We are also often reproved. Our text talks about being often reproved. We are often reproved by our infirmities. We are often reproved by the providence of the Lord. There are circumstances that are out of our control, and they humble us because there's nothing that we can do about them, and they're larger than us. And these are ways, again, in which the Lord humbles us. Most of life, most circumstances are out of our control. We don't know what a day will bring forth, and therefore that should humble us. That should keep us humble before the Lord, and it should make us say, "Thy will be done." And also, as James says, if God wills, we'll do this or we'll do that. And so our infirmities reprove us, the providence of God reproves us, and all men everywhere are reproved daily by the creation itself. It's a witness of God, the scripture says. And so especially the unbeliever, the one who has not confessed Christ, one who has rebelled against Christ or fought against him, he is reproved when he walks out his door, because Romans chapter 1 tells us that the creation itself witnesses the majesty of God and that they are without excuse because they know there's a God. And so they are being reproved even as they walk out their door every day. So is it an often reproof? It sure is. It's a daily, often reproof throughout the day. And then last of all, of course, we are reproved by special revelation, by the scripture itself, by the witness of scripture, by Christians who share with us the word of God, or it can even be, it could be a non-Christian who shares something of the word of God as well. God has many ways to bring us the word of God. Balaam was rebuked by a donkey, that God put some words in his mouth. So God may do as he wishes. But we hear preaching, teaching, fellow saints exhorting us. We may hear truth by friends, by radio, by literature that comes into our hands. Again, this is an often reproof. And I've been surprised for a long time how much of our learning is called reproof or warning. And because of the stubbornness of our own wills, the difficulty that we have in just freely obeying the Lord. And when we say reproof, sometimes we think of it as just something that's harsh and what all. The Lord very gently reproves us in many ways, very kindly reproves us. Now, he can bring the belt out. He can bring the rod out. The scripture says that in Hebrews 12. It talks about two types of discipline there. But there is this often reproof. So in countries where the gospel is freely spoken, the nation itself has a great responsibility. And the nation itself can come under the judgment of God, because if it has the gospel and it's hearing the gospel and it's rejecting the gospel, hardening their hearts against it, then that's where our text comes in. They can be suddenly destroyed. So he says, he that being often reproved, hardening his neck. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Verse 27, Luke 17, verse 26 says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven." And they had been often reproved. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He had preached to them. He had spoken the word of God to them over and over again. But there came a day when that was it. And there was no turning back. There was no second chance. There was no more hearing of the gospel. It was done. And that's the warning of our proverb. The proverb is telling us, listen to those reproofs. count them as precious, that you can hear them and take them to heart, what the Lord has given to you. We know in the book of Exodus that the children of Israel, Moses was sent to Pharaoh, and he was reproved time and time and time again. And we had all these plagues from 1 through 9, each one of them aimed at a particular god of Egypt, showing that the God of the scriptures, the true God of heaven and earth, was over all the gods that Pharaoh had and the Egyptians had. But then there came this hardening of the heart. He hardened his neck over and over and over again, even though he was often reproved graciously by the Lord. And then suddenly that night came, which there were two things that happened. First of all, you had the night in which all the firstborn were killed. So that depopulated a portion of Egypt, and a very important portion of Egypt being the firstborn. But then after that, you remember again, he hardened his neck again and went after him in the Red Sea, in which the entire army was destroyed. And so that was suddenly, and that was without remedy. And we're not told, but we know that it had to have had a tremendous effect upon that culture, upon the Egyptians at that time, to lose their firstborn and to lose their army in a very short time. So we are to hear. We are to hear. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, Are you not the one who troubles Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed after Balaam. And that false religion was thriving in Israel, with 450 prophets that they could account for under that faith of Balaam. And the day came when God destroyed them. In the New Testament, it had talked about also Sodom and Gomorrah. So they ate, they drank, they did their wickedness day after day. And we sometimes wonder ourselves, and we get these news feeds and these problems in our own country, and we see wickedness prospering in various aspects of society, in the educational aspect, in the political aspect, and even in the religious aspect. We see it and we wonder at it. It really is a wonder. It's a wonder to us. We wonder in our own hearts, and we've said it many times, why the Lord doesn't do something, why he doesn't just destroy us. And yet it shows the patience of the Lord, that he often reproves and often reproves and often reproves. But as Christians, we know, and therefore we fear for our land, because we know that as we harden ourselves against the Lord, as the nation does it, that the day can come of which there is no return, in which he decides to put an end to such wickedness. So I think about Daniel going to Babylon. And, you know, the sending of children of Israel to Babylon was a reproof from the Lord. Jeremiah got into trouble for telling the Israelites that they needed to accept that reproof, to not fight against the enemy, but to go ahead and just go on to Babylon. And that got Jeremiah into trouble. But what Jeremiah was saying was, this is of the Lord. The Lord's already said this is going to happen. It's his reproof. You need to accept his reproof. They would no more accept his reproof for their sins than now they would accept it for his punishment. But they were sent away anyways. But when I think about Daniel, I think about someone who, above all others, he accepted the discipline of the Lord. Because he was taken off into Babylon, and he served king after king after king in Babylon, which is what God told him to do. He accepted the discipline of the Lord. He continued to worship the Lord, and he accepted the discipline of the Lord. So much so that he was not there in bitterness, but he was there serving these kings as to prosper them. Because when that dream came to Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel was given an understanding of it, what did he say to the king? He said, "May this thing be to your enemies and not to you." That shows us how much he had accepted the discipline of the Lord. So that's a beautiful testimony. But those that are often reproved and they harden their neck, the scripture says, suddenly are destroyed. Suddenly are destroyed. Suddenly die. Suddenly are taken away. Suddenly they are swept away. Very similar to those places in the scriptures that talk about the final day. Psalm 37 is one of them that Brother David is working on Sunday evenings, where the scripture says a day will come when you will look for the wicked and they won't be there. You won't find them because they will have been swept away completely. And that time will come. It's like sudden death in a sport. You're playing a sport and you're tied and you go into overtime, and in that particular sport there's a sudden death. And you just keep playing, and you keep playing, but then all of a sudden somebody scores, the game's done, we're finished, we're all going home. And that's the way it is with the Lord as well. You know, the Lord may let you play, and let you play, and let you play, but suddenly the game's going to be over, and you're going to meet the Lord. And that's what our proverb is dealing with. One highway wreck, and we go to meet the Lord. One malfunction of the body, and we go meet the Lord. One crazy shooter at a Walmart, and a bunch of people go meet the Lord. So we are to, the proverb obviously is pointing us to repentance, rather than hardening our neck, to hear the reproof of the Lord always. For a Christian has an ear to the reproof of the Lord. He can hear it. And his life is a life of repentance. We are to repent of any self-righteous notion that we don't need Christ if we are an unbeliever, and we think for any reason that we don't need Christ or should not obey the gospel. The scripture tells us it's a matter of obedience. We are to obey the gospel. We are to put away any false or hard ideas about God. Like the man who had one talent, he had a very hard view of God, didn't he? And at the end, he got sent to hell for it. We're to put away our hard ideas about God. Rather than accusing him, we need to accuse ourselves. And that's what God is doing when he's reproving us. We have violated the law of God. We have violated man's as well. We have violated God and man. And we are to repent of our wickedness, any hard heart, and ask the Lord for a new heart, a heart that can be impressed upon, that can have an impression made upon. It's not stony and hard. It can have an impression of the beauty of Christ put upon it, so that in faith we look upon Christ as our Lord and Savior. Make me a Christian. Save me. Help me. Make me not only a Christian, but make me to act like a Christian as well. Cause me to persevere to the very end. And I wanted to close with Brother Bridges had a very beautiful section on it. Bridges, of course, being the best of the best on the book of Proverbs. Bridges writes that, talking about the wicked, as they lived, so they died. So they stand before God without a remedy. There's no blood. There's no advocate to plead for them. And as they sink into the burning lake, every billow of fire as it rolls over them seems to sound these words: without a remedy, without a remedy. Sinner, oh, that you would be wise to consider your guilt and your state and your prospect while yet your judgment and damnation lingers. Is not the Spirit of grace pleading with your heart? Would he not now save thee? Would you but obey the call? You are standing upon mercy's ground between heaven and hell. O thou God of almighty sovereign grace, show a pattern of your long suffering, and let the sinner sing your everlasting praise as a brand plucked from the fire, a monument of thine overabounding grace. Because that's what that oft-reproof is. It's abounding grace. It is standing on mercy's ground. And while we are on mercy's ground, let us receive that mercy. Let us turn from our sin. Let us hear the reproof and put our hope and faith in God. Father, we thank you for the lesson that you give us in this proverb. May we ever have a tender heart towards you. Help us, O Lord. By nature, we are hard-hearted. By nature, we would turn your voice away for a thousand reasons. Oh, may we throw all those reasons away and throw ourselves at thy mercy, knowing that you are a gracious and good God and mighty to save. We ask that you would, for each and every believer here, ever give them that tender heart to hear that reproof, that they would continually turn away from sin and turn to thee. And so we strengthen us, Lord, direct this proverb to our heart in whatever area that we need to hear from you. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.